Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of Jujutsu Kaisen. So this is episode 2 of season 2. I believe it's, Hidden Inventory Part 2? Because I think the first episode was named Hidden Inventory. Just a little bit of Bingetown housekeeping. We will keep this intro much shorter than it was for the premiere episode. If you are still following along, thank you. Just Bingetown TV is a podcast that does a lot more than just Jujutsu Kaisen. You may have found this episode through our Jujutsu Kaisen specific feed. So I would just recommend routing yourself to the Bingetown TV main feed. You'll just find a bunch more episodes. I mean, this is probably going to be episode maybe 397 on that main feed. So we've been at this for 3 years. We've covered a ton of shows. We're covering Secret Invasion right now, Cruel Summer, Silo just ended, you know, Wheel of Time's coming down the pipe. One Piece is coming down the pipe at the end of August. So we've been doing this for a while. We'll keep doing it. If you like what you hear, check out our other stuff. But okay, moving into Jujutsu Kaisen episode 2, just a pretty much flat continuation off of what happened last time. The way we're going to break this episode down is we'll talk about our introduction to Riko as a character, kind of this post, if you want to say, fights against the Q combatants. We'll then talk about the bounty and Fushiguro himself, and then we'll get into talking into the individual battles that happened in the later half of the episode. So I'm just going to open the floor completely to anything we want to discuss about this, these opening scenes, Riko herself.
As always, Aki, I'm going to go first. But the only comment I have just for in regards to the intro is I actually got to watch the intro this time just based off what you guys were talking about. I didn't like fully pay attention, but kind of with you, Kyle, wasn't crazy about the song itself. I feel like the actual visuals of the opening are like way better than the song itself. But overall, solid intro. Another solid episode, just diving a little bit more into Fushiguro and just a little bit more of the Riko and what's the older guy's name, that the Engen, the guy who's absorbing
Tengen.
But yeah, solid episode. Can't wait to get into more of Fushiguro, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was a good solid episode. Just to put it out there and get it out of the way, last episode I spoke a lot about the discrepancies between the manga and the anime episode, and honestly there were no discrepancies this time around. Maybe some minor little like dialogue additions, but overall it was pretty much cookie cutter. 67, 68, and 69 were the chapters that encompassed this episode. I had to reread to refresh my memory a little bit about how Riko, I didn't realize she even freaking knew. I forgot that she knew that she was a star plasma vessel. It was interesting, a little curveball that, you know, it's nice. You watch an anime, even though if you read the manga, like it still has that flair to it, like that surprise. And you still want to know what's going on when you read. And especially the way I read, I binged it like for the first 150 chapters or so. I get the plot, but you miss some of the fine points. It's nice being able to go back and watch an anime and dive back into that. So overall, the episode was good. The fights were great. Gojo and Geto are bosses. And some of the curse users were cool as well.
Yeah, Dave, were you shocked as well that Riko wasn't like completely in the dark about what was going on in kind of the jujitsu world?
Yeah, I guess when you bring it up, I kind of was surprised that she knew that she was going to be the star vessel and was... And I actually found that conversation very interesting about how she was more than willing to be the star plasma vessel for Tengen. Because in my mind, I think maybe, you know, maybe she was brainwashed to think that way because, you know, obviously you're sacrificing your whole entire life for another person who is viewed as a god. And, you know, if that was me, I personally would be totally like, I don't want to do this at all. And she seemed to be more than fine with just being absorbed by Tengen, because she views it as, yes, he's absorbing me, but I also technically will be like absorbing him in a sense. So like we're going to be one being. So
it's like the most positive outlook you could possibly have.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But unfortunately, I think she's in for a rude awakening, because even Geto and Gojo said like that she doesn't realize that she's going to be like locked in the depths of the basement of Jujutsu High. Like, I don't really remember, honestly, so I don't think what I'm saying is spoiler. Like, the way I understood it, the way the principal explained it last episode, is that he's absorbing her and her being is going to dissolve. Like, he's going to encompass her. Like, I don't think her brain, I speculate that her brain will not have any functionality. It will just become Tengen. So that's, Tengen.
That's why I kind of brought up the word brainwashing. I don't know if that's maybe the right word, but like, I feel like someone must have been feeding her this information that, oh, it's going to be such a wonderful thing for you to do. Because you're right. I think I take it as like she also might just be chained in the basement of Jujutsu High for the rest of her life, you know?
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Just, I guess, two quick little tidbits is that we, again, get this reinforcement about how Geto is kind of, he's very empathetic to people that are weak. He's super empathetic, I feel like, to Riko in this kind of moment versus Gojo, like, kind of calling her brat. Then, obviously, we get the gags of kind of them, like, fucking with her a little bit, which is funny. And then we also get a little bit of info, like Aoki mentioned in the first episode, about how Shoko, their kind of third member of their triple threat trio, is a doctor, and she's into like medical jutsu. So
and she could do the reverse. I think this dropped how she has the reverse curse technique, which is like, you know, big. It's a big, it will be become a big thing for Jujutsu Kaisen.
It's also just, I think it's interesting still that we haven't really gotten any of signs of Geto being evil. I mean, besides, you know, the cold opening in episode one, season two, of him giving the monologue of what I take it as like the final moment of him and Gojo's showdown, like the Naruto versus Sasuke moment, what separates their paths. But again, like you said, he's very empathetic towards Riko here. And I just wonder when, if we come across a demon that's going to kind of start whispering in his ear a little bit, like, these are kind of the thoughts that you should have. Not too sure. Like, it was that, I think actually, now that I remember, the guy with the scars from season one, was he around? Did they imply that he was around longer than all of them, or did they imply he was the youngest of the demons? You know what I'm talking about?
I was under the impression, yeah, that he's younger.
Okay. I couldn't remember if I was remembering it, because if he was older, I feel like he could have been the one that was whispering in Geto's ear to become evil. But if he's younger, then I don't think that at all.
Oh, with the blonde short hair?
Yeah, the one, I forget his abilities per se, but they almost fuck him up in season one.
Okay. So we're going to kind of detour very quickly, like I mentioned earlier, about Fushiguro and the bounty. So essentially we learn that at the end of episode one, Fushiguro gets hired. He takes the job to what ends up being having to kill Riko. We learn that he placed this fat bounty on her head with the mindset of he's going to use all of these kind of cannon fodder to wear Gojo down. And then eventually he'll kind of make his move. So we get obviously a lot more Fushiguro in this episode than we did last episode. He's still quite mysterious. We kind of only see him eating, and we learn that he's terrible at gambling. That's kind of about it. That's all we learn about him this episode.
Is anybody really good at gambling? I mean,
oh, when you see me at the races, table,
baby. Yeah, maybe.
True.
I love how it's boat races. That's so funny.
I thought that was pretty cool. Like, that'd be pretty cool to see in person. It was like a mental note I made.
And it was funny that they show that as we were kind of discussing sports in Jujutsu Kaisen last episode.
Yeah, no, true.
So I thought that was pretty cool. But Fushiguro just continues to be a beast. I mean, it's cool because all I've ever heard is that, like, you know, he's super strong. I never really kind of implied that he had some intelligence to him as well. I kind of took him just based on what I heard as like a gung-ho kind of person who would maybe just kind of like charge in there, fuck shit up with how strong he is. But seeing him here kind of plot how he's going to wear down Gojo and how he's obviously aware of the name Gojo, the Santorus or whatever their last name is, or first name or whatever it is in Japan.
Satoru, right?
Satoru, yeah.
No, like, well, it's the Gojo clan.
Yeah, that's he was like familiar with the Gojo clan, but he also obviously knew of Gojo. But again, yeah, just surprised that he actually has a little bit of mental strength to him as well, and a little bit of intelligence, just because, again, I just always heard of him as being super strong, and usually super strong characters aren't you know, that thinking. And so it was cool to see that he was actually sitting back, letting the plan just go, let it unfold as is. And he wasn't even worried about it in the slightest, even if Gojo was like doing some crazy shit. He wasn't even worried.
I think an important piece of his unknown background, we got a clue about his name. Okay. He said he took the name Fushiguro. They confirmed it's Megumi's dad, but also his previous name is Zenin. And we know that Zenin, with like Gojo, is one of the major clans of the Jujutsu Sorcerer world, excuse me. So, you know, that might give a hint as to how much he knows and why he knows so much. He probably grew up in like this secluded village or whatever. I mean, I'm just, again, these are not spoilers. These are inferences that I think you can make based on his name.
Yeah, I mean, we learn a lot in season one about Maki and kind of how tough it can be to grow up in that clan.
Yeah, she's Zenin, exactly. Yeah. Just a side note, too, I think it's fun how Jujutsu Kaisen, I think they do a really good job of placing the characters in like regular world Japan versus like other manga. The way he's just like at a gambling pen, you know, it's just funny. And it makes it feel, I mean, realistic is not the word, but it's a cool fantasy that there are demons and sorcerers and they live among us. You know what I mean? It's cool.
Yeah, we do get a little bit of a title / nickname drop for him. The guy from the religious group does call him Sorcerer Killer, which is just quite the title to have in this kind of world.
He's got a lot to live up to, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, so we'll transition back to... I'm sorry, Dave, would you like to make a comment?
You can keep going. It might fall into this, to what you're about to say.
Yeah, so we'll just transition back into Gojo, Geto, and Riko's school day. So basically, we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of the fighting. Riko, for whatever reason, she wants to go to school. They begrudgingly follow her there. Gojo's obviously the most upset about it. Predictably, all hell breaks loose as now we know that the bounty is on her head. So we basically will start off with just Geto versus this grandpa character. Anything we want to talk about with this fight, I would say, is complete fair game.
The moment you know, like, one character is overthinking as much as that guy was, you just know he's going to get fucked up and just everything was going to go wrong. But I just really like how I think here the old man kind of hints at Geto's ability being a little bit different than most, I guess, quote unquote, summoning abilities. I forget how they break it down. Like, even when they're talking about like Gojo's ability, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me, but I just know that he just is infinite essentially. But regardless, getting to Geto, I just like how they're also inferring that Geto also is like a very unique ability, because they also talk about how Gojo, you know, he has limitless and whatever the other one is called,
six eyes,
and that not only just having like one of them makes you special, but having both of them makes him like a generational talent. So I like how they hype up Gojo, but at the same time we get small scenes like here with Geto that also imply that Geto is like a once in a lifetime jujutsu sorcerer. So it kind of plays into that like yin yang ability.
He's definitely gifted. He's definitely gifted. His power is he's very powerful. He's very strong. He's got a unique technique that rhymed.
What is it exactly? Like, so I guess the guy was saying, yeah, go ahead and try and explain if you can. Well,
it's curse manipulation. So they make a specific point to isolate it from what Megumi's power is, which is Shikigami where he can kind of create almost kind of apparitions, whatever you want to call them,
whereas he's actually controlling real
like he has legitimate curses.
He's manipulating
So like we've season one, we see them kind of eliminate curses, while Geto's kind of whole deal is that he can pretty much like bring them under his power and like manipulate them and work for him. That's why he's the grandpa even specifically says like it has a different energy from him, because it's not like from his energy
again,
like, Megumi.
I love that they hype him up, because I mean, to me, Gojo is like by far and away the strongest. And even visually, when we've seen Gojo fight, I guess this also goes into the fact that we haven't seen Geto really go all out either yet. But I just like that they're kind of making Geto keep up with Gojo with these small references, even though we haven't really seen him fight, because he's going to be a big bad and we need him to be that Gojo level threat. And so I just, again, I'm just appreciative of them slipping that in there.
And he's got hands.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Man's got hands, bro. That's for sure.
Yeah, the whole time, the grandpa's like, oh, I'll just get him close. I'll just kick his ass. And then it just, when he jumps through the window and it was just the Shiba Inu, I just laughed out loud. I was like, this is just so funny.
They had me for a second because, you know, they had the shot of Ghetto kind of with a surprise face. I was like, oh, maybe he did do something. And then it's just him catching these fucking hands. I'm just like, that was so good.
Yeah, while Ghetto, while Gojo is... has the his potential is through the roof. Ghetto obviously has the brains.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important takeaway of this backstory.
Sure.
Yeah. Just very quickly, we see that Kuroi, I believe is the way to pronounce. This is the maid. She gets into it with who I'll just call Baghead. Fairly identifiable name. She hits him with a nice little ball shot with the broom, which I thought was nice. And then Ghetto kind of comes in and saves her a little bit at the end. But now we'll get into Gojo. So we can talk about Gojo and the girls if we want to talk about that at all. And then we can talk about the fight itself. The Gojo and the girls scene was just like legitimately hilarious. This is why I love
the teacher.
This is why the I teacher love cracked me up. Series. Yeah. I love how mad all of the students then get at the teacher. It was just so funny.
Like, I think I laughed. I don't have a lot of opportunities to meet people. And they were like, neither do we.
Yeah. It was really good. They're like, you got game, huh?
I love how they, like, he doesn't even have to talk. He's just kind of there. Just, you can tell he's loving this, the tension. Yeah. Like, he's just like posing and stuff. Like, he doesn't even need to say a word.
Yeah. He's a grade A fuckboy.
Yeah, exactly. You just know that he's a fuckboy.
Just the way he takes his glasses off and all the sparkles and stuff.
Like, why are your eyes blue?
He knows he's hot as shit. Like, yeah, it's just
really funny. Okay. So now we'll get into, I guess you could definitely call it both the climax and the end of the episode, which is Gojo now joining a fight against all of the Bagheads, which I think they mentioned it gets up to 5.
Yeah, he's a clone.
We get to see young Gojo actually in action because we kind of skipped over it at the beginning when he beat up Q or whatever that guy, not Q, but I forgot what that guy's name. Bayer.
Who was apparently the strongest Q. Yeah. We didn't Association.
It was so obvious that those two were just going to get fucked up.
Okay. But all right. Well, speaking of getting fucked up, Baghead pretty much too here.
Of course. Anyone that just steps in front of Gojo is cooked. They're done.
Although, I mean, they did a good job of kind of showing us how, maybe not inexperienced, but kind of cocky, not necessarily out of his depth, but he's obviously younger. Because he fails on the Red River.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Just didn't even cross my mind that it was going to even fail because he's just talking about how fucking strong he is. And I'm like, you're damn right. You're that fucking strong. And he pulls it out. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's done. And then
brings us back to reality about the fact that he's a second year Jujutsu sorcerer.
Yeah, also, years.
Yeah. But it also gives, it's crazy how cautious Fushiguro is. His first name is escaping me is right now.
Fushiguro.
It's crazy how cautious Fushiguro is towards him, and he's a kid. I mean, that's he says, I'm the strongest, like Gojo is the fucking strongest. Like he
does say here, though, which is kind of continuing that thread of Fushiguro's caution, that he says, like, when he explains his whole technique, this is Gojo, but he says, like, basically, bottom line, like, it's exhausting.
Yeah, when he was going in that
Gojo says that.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah, Gojo admits it at the end of this episode. He says that, like, you know, engaging in this technique, like, it's insane, but it's totally obviously exhausting for me.
I probably watched that scene like 2-3 times over trying to, like, just understand what his ability is, and it still just escapes me. It's kind of like pain almost. Like, he can just, like, pull things close to him, but at the same time, he can get them close enough where it doesn't touch them, and then that kind of void can sometimes create like black hole events. I don't know.
It's just a list of all the numbers between 0 and 1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to know why it works. I just know that it looks fucking sweet whenever it comes out.
I think that exhaustion aspect is what Fushiguro's play is.
Oh yeah, I mean of course they were talking about Fushiguro's like, I'm just going to keep wearing him down. I set up this bounty so that people will just basically keep attacking until this point in time where I will just come in and just wipe the floor with this washed Gojo.
Which I thought was so cool, like that dark web bounty, like that is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like opens it up to anybody who is willing to pursue it. And like he put in his whole payment towards this. He's so confident that nobody's going to touch Gojo and it's going to be him and Gojo at the end. And we'll see how it plays out. I mean, it's pretty cool. This guy is, you're in for a treat, Dave. I mean, for real.
I fucking can't wait. I already know.
I'm upset they didn't get into it. I thought they really were going to give us like a little bit of it at the end, but no.
It's going to be next episode.
Yeah, they're going to make us wait. Like, I guess.
I think it might be another, a whole nother episode.
Yeah, we might get maybe another more like villain of the week type deal. Obviously, we're on our way back to Jujutsu High. It's probably maybe like a day and a half. It's difficult to know how much time has actually passed since they've gotten the mission. The mission basically said 2 days. Things need to move somewhat quickly, so they're not going to keep us waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for what we really want. But another episode, just solid. You know, it's nice that we got a little combat. We get Gojo. We get the nice reminder of his power. We get Geto in action a little bit. We learn a little more about Fushiguro. But they're kind of, you know, they're just inching us towards what we know is going to happen. And I think the wait is going to make it that much sweeter as well.
I think the anime said it's going to be 5 episodes for Gojo's backstory, if I'm not mistaken. I could back that up real quick.
That was something I had asked Aoki prior to the recording, just because now actually having watched the intro, I noticed that obviously the intro was solely based on like Gojo's backstory. Essentially, you know, they're all young. Like, you don't see any of our like main characters like Megumi, anybody like that. So I was curious and I asked him, like, is this going to be all season? Not that that would be a bad thing. I'm all in for Gojo backstory, but I was just curious. And he said it would probably be about 5 chapters.
Yeah, the fandom website, like the wiki, whatever. I just looked it up. Gojo's backstory episodes anime, and it says it's going to be 25 to 29.
Cool.
Speculate there's going to be 24 episodes in this season. There better be.
They put out like a whole schedule of when like things are going to happen. Like generally. So yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't know off the top of my head, but it's about 24. I mean, it's going to go into the fall for sure.
What was this girl's name versus the character's name from the movie? This girl's name is
Rico. This is Rico.
Rico. And then who? Rika was from.
Yes.
The
yeah.
That's so annoying.
It's annoying for like a small amount of time. I mean, I guess in this, it's probably more annoying in the sense of like the way that these things came out. But like technically the movie is chapter 0, so you would have read, you know, 70 chapters in between and not really
like I should have about seen Rika the so movie much. And then season 1, like, cuz now it's like fresh in my head that it's like,
do you know, Rika. Kyle, in reference to the manga release timeline, when chapter 0 came out?
Top of my head, I do not know.
That would be interesting to see how much of the story elapsed before that was dropped.
I would agree. Yeah.
That's something we'll come back to for next episode, viewers.
Yeah. Maybe a little homework in between. Cause I mean, that's pretty much all that happened this episode. I don't have anything else to say beyond. I'm just really happy that the show's back. Can't wait to be here next week talking about episode 3, whatever it is they give to us.
I guess Rico and the maid are just like, for lack of a better word, like force sensitive. Like, they can see curses and they know about the Jujutsu world, but they are not sorcerers.
Seems to be the case.
My last thoughts will be that, like, Rico obviously is kind of annoying, but she is about to get, I feel, obviously she's about to get thrown into a completely different realm than what she's used to. So I think that will obviously help her mature a little bit. And
in the next day.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll see, but I'm also dies. Just, and then like we had talked about earlier, just I'm curious to see how she will react further into getting, looking forward to seeing how she will react with more knowledge of what her role actually is going to entail. So she, as of right now, is annoying, but she definitely has a lot of interest in my eyes. And then obviously Fushiguro is where all of my attention's on right now. So
naturally,
can't wait for episode 3, baby.
All right. Yeah. So that's going to do it for episode 2. In and out much quicker than we did episode 1. Like I said, we're obviously going to be here every week. If you like what you heard, the best way to support us is just subscribing on whatever you're listening and or watching on. Just to reiterate again, Bingetown TV does a ton of stuff that's, you know, outside of the purview of even anime. I mean, our main focus, honestly, is like sci-fi fantasy television. So if you're into that as well, I would definitely check out the Bingetown TV main feed if you're listening. Obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, you know that our channel itself is just a click away. You can see all the stuff that we've done on there. And then social media, we're at Bingetown TV on Twitter and Instagram. We do have a Discord. that we've been kind of plugging in all of these episodes. We're getting better and better and better at being kind of like engaged in it and discussing all the different shows. So if you join the Discord, you'll see that, I mean, there's like at least maybe like 15 channels at this point with different shows that we're covering. The link to that will be, if you're watching on YouTube, it'll be in the description of this video. If you're watching, or I'm sorry, if you're listening to this, I'm sure it's either going to be in the description of the episode as well on the podcast app you're listening on. And also, it should be in our Twitter bio. So at Bittenstown TV on Twitter if you want to get quick access to the Discord. And as always, thank you for listening, and we love you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.